This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with T. Xiao Week and Tina Camellia. Here are the stories we have for you today.
What if Harry Potter was deaf or in a wheelchair? We need more depictions of disabilities in children's books.
And find out why are children skipping school this Friday?
And on that note, we're asking on Twitter, are children effective change makers? Do you think yes, no, they don't know enough, no, they are too idealistic, or you just can't take children seriously? To join this poll, or, you know, just to send us your thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
And before we get to our stories, here is The Kids Are All Right by The Who.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That was The Kids Are All Right by The Who. And are the kids all right, shall we?
Not all of them. Well, you know, before this song, I asked, what if Harry Potter was deaf, mm-hmm. or if he used a wheelchair, or any of the, you know, famous children's characters that we are familiar with? So authors actually have been called out and are being urged to feature differently abled characters in their stories. First, a little bit of a story time. Let's hear an excerpt from Dad and Me in the Morning. This is a picture book about a deaf child watching the sunrise with his dad.
My special alarm clock flashed. I shut it off quickly and sat up. My little brother was still asleep. Good. It was dark everywhere. I slid out of bed, put on my hearing aids and my clothes, and took my flashlight. Then I tiptoed down the long hall. I inched my way to Dad's side of the bed and gave him a little shake. I flicked on my flashlight so I could read his lips. He opened an eye. "I'm ready," he said. Then he scratched his head. "Don't wake anybody," I warned him. "I'll be quiet," he said, and I knew he would. When we can't make noise like now or in the movies, Dad just mouths the words, but I can speech read, so I know what he's saying. "Okay," I signed. "Hurry."
So what's great about this story, or the little bit that we heard, is the normalization of deafness. You know, things like the boy using sign language, lip reading his father, using hearing aids or tortures, relying on other senses to experience his surroundings. All these are not devices forced into the story, but just how the boy narrates his experiences. Mm-hmm. That's how he lives his life.
Right.
So, you know, the simple thing, like instead of the author writing, "he said," she wrote, "he signed," mm-hmm. you know, things like that, that I think we take for granted, yeah. but when it's used differently, it makes such a huge difference. So the reason I want to talk about this is, you know, last week, Oscar winner Rachel Shenton and children's book author Julia Donaldson called for more diversity in children's books. Specifically, they urged more depictions of characters who are differently abled.
Yeah, and Shenton is a British actress and screenwriter who won an Oscar last year for The Silent Child, a short film about a deaf child. And she said, "I've learned just how important it is for children to see themselves in programs and movies they watch and in the books they read. Never seeing themselves can make their experiences seem invisible." And Donaldson, the author of The Gruffalo and many other children's books, said, "I've seen firsthand how powerful it is for a child to have their lives and their experiences reflected in what they read, to be able to say, there's someone like me."
Yeah, so this call actually came in conjunction with the UK's World Book Day, which they celebrate in March. The UNESCO recognized World Book Day is observed in April, so we in Malaysia follow that. But still, you know, it's an important call to heed, something that I think we can talk about at any time. We don't have to wait for World Book Day to do that.
Yeah. So I spoke earlier to Yap Suk Yi. She's a parent of a child who has spinal muscular atrophy. Her son, Brandon, uses a wheelchair. Suk Yi and her husband, Edmund, are passionate advocates for the rights of children with different abilities. So I asked Suk Yi first off why it is important to have children of different needs and abilities being represented in, you know, children's books and movies. So, like, why does it make a difference to her son?
It is very important for children who are differently able to be represented in storybooks because it has many benefits. Firstly, it create awareness on diversity in the society, that people can be born with different race or different ethnic and gender, and there are also people born differently, who looks different and also have different abilities. It benefits everyone. For children who are typical, they get to know that there are children who are different, and for children who are differently able, when they see a character being represented in a storybook, they know that they are included in the story and they're happy to see that they are just like everyone else.
And she also talked about the other benefits of diversity in books, especially in terms of what typically developing children can get out of these stories.
The other benefit is it actually breaks the mindset of typical mindset of how people see or understand what disability is. For example, like my son, he's wheelchair bound. When a child see Brandon, they ask a few questions. Firstly, they will ask, why does he have legs but he is in a wheelchair sitting and not walking? So they see legs as you must be able to walk. Secondly, when they see a child in a wheelchair, they always think that only old people should be in a wheelchair and not a child. And a lot of people associate disability when they see a wheelchair. There are a lot of challenges or differently able people who has a hidden disability. Usually when children do not see a wheelchair or a stick or physically, they do not see that child being is different. They do not understand that they are actually people who are also different, for example, like autism and other conditions such as ADHD. It also promotes positive attitudes towards children with different abilities. The story can actually teach the children to help others instead of judge.
I also asked Sukyi how parents should talk to their children about this issue. For example, how would we teach our kids that there are people with all kinds of different characteristics or abilities?
I always like to use examples that they can easily relate. For example, when we talk about diversity in terms of abilities and born physically different, I like to share with my children that have they watched, they love Marvels and superheroes, they're all the same. I mean, if you can see Spider-Man all wrapped up, they don't see any different from other people, but they actually like what Spider-Man can do and things like that. So superhero in their mind are heroes. They actually do not see the appearances of the character that much.
And so you also recommended some children's books and movies that depict differently abled characters.
There are many books about disabilities in the market, especially lately there are more and more. As for movies, I like Wonders and also Finding Nemo and Finding Dory.
That was Yap Suk Yi, a parent of a child with spinal muscular atrophy. She was talking about why it's important for typically and non-typically developing children to be able to see more diversity in the characters that they, you know, read about or watch in films. But it's also important to sort of qualify that what kind of depictions do we want to see? We don't want it to be tokenistic or even patronizing. It should be meaningful and realistic.
No, that's actually the thing, right? Like, I feel like often, even in movies or books, mm-hmm. when there is a character with a disability, mm-hmm. they tend to be there as a plot device mm-hmm. to be rescued or to be the one that evokes sympathy so then the hero can come in and have his or her
Correct.
Day, right?
Yes.
And that's not actually a positive representation.
Not empowering.
Yeah, that's not empowering at mm-hmm. all.
Yeah, sorry. And I think that that's why I kind of liked Star Trek growing up watching The Next Generation. Mm, Lieutenant Commander LaForge with his visor because mm-hmm. he was born blind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's typically not addressed, but every now and then when there's a comment about, you know, why he's wearing a visor, what can he see and cannot see, it's sometimes it's addressed, but most of the time, you know, he's just like any other crew member on the ship.
Similarly to X-Men, I know Sugi mentioned Marvel just now, but X-Men as a comic series was initially developed to sort of address people who felt like they lived in the margins of mainstream society. And that's why when you look at the characters, I know they're called mutants, but that term is almost reclaimed, right?
Yeah.
And people like Professor X, who is in a wheelchair, other characters that have visors, you know, and that was what it was intended to be.
Mm.
And I think that's one way in which not just that there are people with disabilities in your story, but they are there as legitimate characters rather than just as tropes or plot devices. There is a blog called booksforlittles.com that actually has recommendations on what we should look out for. You know, some of the things that the blog lists are things like the books should feature underrepresented characters with agency.
Mm-hmm.
So actually being able to make decisions and sort of decide
being for control
of their own sort of stories, right? And then that they should be created by authors who have that lived experience or have consulted with those who have. And then that they should feature engaging plots with universal appeal, connecting to any reader with empathy.
So I think that's important because you shouldn't be putting in this kind of narrative just for the sake of it. At the end of the day, you still have to write an entertaining book for kids, right?
That's right.
They are going to be your best audience and your worst critic at the same time.
That's true. Yeah. And some other features of books that promote diversity include characters who are valuable and successful in their own right, not within the context of the mainstream. Non-disabled characters should accommodate and accept the needs of disabled folks without any whining.
So I think the fact that the blog writer put that in, it must point to the fact that there are quite a lot of books out there where I think the non-disabled or the typically developing are sort of putting down the characters who are disabled. And, you know, so he did also point out, you know, if you were looking out for books like these, or even thinking about sort of using them in your if you are writing a story, there's so much to consider. Differently abled, different abilities go beyond just the physical.
Yeah.
You have neurodiversities. You have autism. Even mental health, I think, is something very, very much underrepresented in children's literature.
Yeah, and I mean, I just recently finished reading Hannah Alkaff's book, a local author, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a young adult book, and it's called The Weight of Our Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in Malaysia. But what's most relevant to this discussion is that the main character, who is a 16-year-old Malaysian girl, also struggles with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hannah's put a lot of research into talking about this condition. Her previous book is actually a non-fiction book about different mental health issues in Malaysia. So obviously this, you know, she doesn't take this lightly. And it shows in the book. And I think that's what's really important, that the character then becomes a complete person, not just a trope put there to reflect a condition, right?
Yeah.
Which is a lot. You don't want to reduce people to just that one thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true with diversity across the board, right? Not just people with disabilities.
I think the fact that you brought up a local author, and that's where you can get diversity when you introduce your children to local authors telling local stories. And we have a lot of great ones in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah.
I recently bought, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, I think her name is Gwen Hugh, and she's got at least two books talking about life in Sabah and Sarawak, sort of like, there's one called The Wild Tree House of Borneo. So from there, you just... I feel like it's so valuable because my son gets to see that not all children in books are white,
right?
Living in cities, you know, they live. Some of them live in rural areas. You know, they get to. He gets to see what kind of animals are native to an area. He just gets to see actually what is more real to him than a white child. To be honest,
no, I get that, right? Because growing up, we used to read Enid Blyton, for instance, right?
Yeah.
And all of these kids doing things and living in places that...
And having crumpets in the afternoon.
And you have no idea what crumpet is. You're looking at your kuih lapis and feeling really bad about yourself. I mean, it's not at all comparable to, you know, what a person with a disability might feel, because I imagine that level of not feeling included is even more severe. But just that idea that when you want to read a book, the first time you read a book and you find yourself in it,
yeah,
is actually a really significant moment, or watch a movie, you know? And I think that everyone deserves to feel that.
Mm-hmm. Tina, did you, I know we were talking about this before we came in, have you come across any books?
Not books, unfortunately not books. I know films, like I said, Star Trek, TV series, films, they've always been in the forefront of, you know, diversity and this, not just in terms of ethnicity and colour, but also, you know, interspecies relations in general, right? and gender balance, yeah, and that kind of stuff, so yeah.
So books are still quite far behind somehow.
Or maybe we just haven't discovered them.
So I think that's actually the thing, because before, when I knew we were going to be talking about this, I kind of did a bit of research online, and I was looking for children's books about people with disabilities, and there are a lot, but what tends to happen is that they tend to be either like shelved or classified as niche, right? And so parents, I guess, who want to buy those books for their kids, primarily because their kids have disabilities,
right,
would buy them. But I don't think they're reaching a mainstream market. The only one that I can think of, and I love this book, is Wonder by R.J. Palacio. And it's about a boy who was born with a condition that, I suppose, so he has very atypical facial features. For me, like, off top of my head, that's the only book that I can think of that has kind of moved beyond that. Well, I live this lifestyle, so I'm buying this book for my child. And I think it's very important that people outside of that also read these stories. And I wonder why that hasn't happened, and how that bridge can be crossed, you know?
And we have to stop assuming that commercial appeal is only within that sort of typical spectrum, that things can go beyond that and still... And at the end of the day, as long as you tell a good story and you use your characters... meaningfully, I think you can reach the mainstream audience.
I think it's parents like yourself, Shawik. I mean, you choosing to buy books that reflect a different experience from your sons makes a difference. And a lot of parents, a lot of people in general, don't make that choice. They're quite comfortable with what they're familiar with. But instead of thinking, well, there might actually be interesting stories if I just look beyond the ones that I'm used to.
So I mean, I hope parents will just sort of start looking out for books that are different, you know. And I would also like to hear from you if you have any thoughts. Like, how would you explain to your children about the lack of diversity in what they read or see? It's a tough one. I'm having trouble, like, sort of formulating those thoughts. But, you know, send them through. You know, tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. You can call us as well, 7733-2900.
Yeah, and so Chiang just WhatsApp. He texted in to say that Mark Miller wrote a superhero comic called Superior that featured a disabled boy.
Hark,
which features a mentally disabled man.
Oh, well, those are some good choices there.
Thanks for that, Jim.
So we've got some suggestions if you guys want to visit a bookstore or buy these books or comics for yourself or for your kids. It's never too late. We do need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about children skipping school for climate change. But before you forget, this is your final call. We're only a few days away from our Enterprise Rocks conference, which is happening on the 14th of March, 2019. If you want to learn how to create an exceptional customer experience for your brand, product or services, then join us this Thursday at Connection at Nexus, Bangsa South. You will learn from the best of the best in the industry, the likes of Tariq Jeans, Orchid Cosmetics, Ming Watches, The Big Group, Rio, Apom, and many more. Get your tickets now at bfm.my/rocks. And here is You Can't Judge a Book by the Cover by The Stripes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.